The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.
Ryan Beatrice here, so let's talk sports, let's talk Olympics, let's talk the Caribbean. It seems like the limbo outfit's working, boy.
I mean, whatever it is, the Caribbean has certainly showed up to these Olympic Games. Good afternoon to you, Base.
Yeah,
happy
man.
To be on here. Freedom. Happy to be in your company. Thank you very much for inviting me.
No, usually when the Caribbean shows up in any sporting event, especially the Olympics, is always Jamaica, right? But it seems like, you know, collectively, everybody putting in their 2 cents, so to speak.
That's a really good point. Mm. That's a really, really good point. And I expanded to say...
Malta must have to travel between the months of September to November. That's important, right? When you're booking your vacation.
Games, and that shows you that athletes from around the region, not just in the Southern Caribbean, but now in the Eastern Caribbean as well, these athletes are also doing something right, whether it's the national programs, whether it's these athletes going abroad and training and becoming better.
But I was not going to ask that. Are they, because they're training abroad or training home, like you say, something is being right. I don't know if any research has done as to what different is really happening.
Right, so I don't have the authority to speak at it, but I have spoken to people who do follow it.
Right.
Someone like, let's just say, Arto Bolden, who is a four-time Olympic medalist for this country.
Okay.
And again, it's a mixture of both. Yes, they run across the United States of America, but their national programs, a lot of these national Olympic committees across the Caribbean, they haven't been sitting by over the last decade and saying, gosh, Trinidad and Tobago is so good.
Yeah.
Gosh, Jamaica is so excellent. The culmination of St. Lucia winning an Olympic gold medal, winning an Olympic silver medal through Julian Alfred, you just don't do that in one Olympic cycle.
Right.
That takes time, it takes preparation, and it's the culmination of years of effort. And I think it's very similar for Dominica winning its first Olympic gold medal as well, its first Olympic medal.
Yeah.
So I think that, yes, you're absolutely right. Something is changing, but I don't think it's fair to say that these nations have just gone over the last 4 years radically changing their entire system. I think they've been making incremental progress over the last 2 to 3 Olympic cycles, and now they've got athletes, particularly on the track, particularly in the field, that are doing so well and reaping the rewards.
Didn't Grenada do something some years back? Grenada?
Kerani James is the face of track and field when it comes to Grenada and the face of 400 meter running here in the Caribbean. He remains a standard. Jareem Richards, for us here in Trinidad and Tobago, is a very good athlete, and he's the face of our track and field at the moment. But certainly Kerani James is that gold medal that he won. He's a world champion as well. You know, he is our best 400 meter runner out of these parts, and again, we'll be looking to him to see what he can do when he lines up as well in the events that he's lining up in, the 400 meter event a little bit later today. So it's a really interesting position. I agree with you in the question that you asked, if any studies have been done, because I think on the back of this Olympics base, we in the Caribbean, journalists, academians, and I'm not saying academians just because we've got great academics here in the Caribbean, and I'm not saying it because sport is just something trivial. There is something there, as you noted in your question, there's something there to study.
Yeah.
There's something there to investigate.
You must do it.
What
you
are
must
we
do it.
Doing different?
Yeah.
And how far can we take this in Los Angeles in 4 years from now?
Right.
Yeah, there's something there, and I agree with you.
Yeah, maybe it's something with this generation or something. How did they approach, you know, coaching?
Or what's changed?
Yeah.
What was the system before?
Right.
What is the system now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and what changes were made?
Yeah.
So, you know, but I couldn't be more happy for the Caribbean. At the moment, English-speaking Caribbean, 8 medals, 4 for Jamaica, 1 for Dominica, 1 for Grenada, 2 for Julian Alfred and St. Lucia.
Mm-hmm.
We're off to a pretty good start by this afternoon. That could be 9 if Jareem Richards can nick a gold, silver or bronze in what will be a highly competitive men's 400-meter race. That race is off at 3:20 p.m. this afternoon.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a lot to look for in the Caribbean. Keshawn Wolcott competes tomorrow in the men's javelin final.
Yeah, he's a place in the top 12, I think.
Yeah, he was 11th, actually.
Right, okay. Yeah. So what else after this, what else do we... Trinidad and Tobago have to look forward to?
Well, we've got Nicholas Paul, who is currently, I believe, actually in the round of 16. He should be competing, actually, as we speak, he should be competing. Mm. And that would be interesting to see if he can move on to the semi-final of the event. Mm. I am trying to see. I don't think he's actually raced as yet. But if he did, he is in the round of 16. And we're looking to see if he can actually make it into the semi-final, or rather the quarterfinals, which will actually, he'll be racing in just about 10 minutes. It's actually 1:51 p.m. is the races in Heat 5. He'll be going up against Carlin from Great Britain. So this should be a pretty interesting race. That's Jack Carlin from Great Britain. He's 27 years old, and he'll be he's a silver medalist for the Great Britain team at these Olympic Games. So it'll be interesting to see how Trinidad and Tobago's Nicholas Paul comes up against a Scottish rider in the round of 16 at the in the men's sprint at the Olympic Games. We'll be keeping our eyes out for that. So yes, Nicholas Paul is a huge prospect. We've obviously got Jareem Richards. Mm-hmm. Then we've got the relays happening with the women's team there as well. So we do have some prospects over the next few weeks. Of course, over the next few days, I should rather say. Of course, track and field has been our major point at Olympic Games. Yeah, exactly.
So on this side, they're training in Jamaica and the USA. So could that be it?
I think so. That's a very good assumption, because we have a very good relationship with Jamaica, at least us here in Trinidad and Tobago. Mm-hmm. Our athletes go across there. They train with fellow Jamaicans. Obviously, a lot of our athletes are in colleges in the United States, and they run in the NCAA circuit. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. While our program here, there are many questions about how we can improve our own program. Certainly that comment is right. Mm-hmm. We do have a lot of athletes who train with fellow Jamaicans, who train in the Jamaican system, and obviously, the American system is our favorite here in Trinidad and Tobago, where a lot of our athletes get scholarships and go abroad and run in the NCAA circuit.
Right. But what other sports do you think we could excel in? I mean, I know the government builds some swimming pools, and when they build those swimming pools, they say we could expect some more Olympians coming out of this. But what other sports do you see? I mean, we're not in the cycling. They say, well, what other sports besides the track and field, the javelin, do you see that we could excel in?
We've done so well in getting athletes over the last couple Olympic cycles to sports like that you mentioned, gymnastics. We've had Felice Aisha Chow in rowing. Yeah. We've had Andrew Lewis for a couple Olympic Games in sailing. Mm. And so we've had this tranche of athletes between London 2012 and Tokyo 2021, which is really two. Tokyo 2021. We've had this tranche of athletes in Trinidad and Tobago that went in sports like judo, like gymnastics, like rowing, like sailing. We've had our system produce these athletes where they were able to qualify for the Olympic Games, if not get a medal or at least get into the final. We've done well in that, but I think, you know, most experts will say, you know, having a number of swimming pools or the best swimming pools in your country it's not a pathway towards winning an Olympic medal.
Yeah.
It's a good start, but the programs within a lot of these sports, I think a lot of people will agree, if you don't have the proper programs to nurture young swimmers, to nurture young sailors, to nurture young tennis players, to go from grassroots to the Olympic Games, if you don't have that program, I think then the resources can only take you so far. You've got the pools, but do you have the programs to take them from, you know, Couva all the way to Paris?
Right. Now, the Ministry of Sport, I mean, I know a lot of parents who have children in sport, and it always seems sometimes like they're struggling. They always have to be raising funds, you know, be doing this and doing that. It always seems like a real struggle for sport. I really wish we could get over that some way, somehow. I mean, if a budget is given to the Ministry of Sports to do certain things, why is that parents always seems to be having to be struggling all over the place?
Yeah, it's so the thing is, I'll answer it like this. You know, I've always, and this is what I firmly believe, when we talk about that, listen, Trinidad and Tobago is a sporting nation. Mm-hmm. Trinidad and Tobago, even people who play recreationally, it's a large number.
Yeah.
And then you've got those who would really aspire to be at the international stage. And that's a really large group. Mm. We have a lot of sports in this country.
Yeah,
it's not just cricket. It's not just football. It's not just athletics. Right. It's not just tennis. Those are the popular ones. Mm. We've got a lot of other smaller sports. Trinidad and Tobago loves to play sport. Right. Trinbegonians love sport. Mm-hmm. If you're going to have to invest in all of those athletes, the government, that is, to get to an Olympic Games, It's almost impossible. It's a lot of money to win an Olympic medal or to get to the Olympic Games requires a lot of money, and I think that's where we need to incentivize and encourage corporate Trinidad and Tobago, the private sector, to not only get on board but to get invested in these athletes.
The only time they get on board is when they win a gold medal. They come back
right out
and
of my mouth.
Then after they want to do that.
That's exactly what I was about to say. We can't wait anymore until Jareem Richards wins a World Championships medal or a Commonwealth medal or an Olympic medal.
Yeah.
We can't do that anymore. What we need to do is we need to incentivize and encourage, and to a great extent, the government, both past and present, they have. They have tried very much to get corporate TNT on board at a very early stage within these athletes' career. But I think it's a little bit unfair to ask any government, past or present or future, to really go into investing in every possible athlete with potential of making the Olympic Games or making a World Cup or making a World Championships. It just costs too much, and we have too much potential. Yeah. Our athletes, we have too many who are so good and who can make it. If we have to invest in all of them, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. That's a shame. Changing on to football a little bit is out. We have a new King, I believe. What do you think about that?
Yeah, so it's an interesting move. It comes at a really interesting time. There are
why did they get rid of that? Angus, he pulled out himself, or why his contract was up or something?
I can only go by the official statement that was released by the Trinidad and Tobago Football Association, which generally said that they have informed him that they no longer require his services. Now, that's a public relations statement to try to, that doesn't go very deep, obviously, but there are a lot of things beneath the surface, as we would all imagine, that we are not privy to, whether Angus actually wanted to give up the job, whether he was interested in leaving, whether he was not interested in leaving, whether things happened behind the scenes that we're not aware of. I'll answer the question on two sides. On the one side, what they've done is they've sort of given the incoming coach, or the process to start a new coach, a couple Nations League games before we go back into World Cup qualifying next year. So they have roughly a year before their next World Cup qualifying match, and that is Trinidad and Tobago. But on the other side, when you look at the financial woes that the Trinidad and Tobago Football Association has gone through over a period of time, this sort of doesn't help, because now you have to honor out Angus Eve's contract, and now you have to pay someone fresh to come in.
Yeah.
Now you have to pay a caretaker to take care of the team. So you kind of question, was this a financially sensible move? But then again, if we go on to qualify under a new coach for the Men's World Cup in 2026, then, everybody will be saying what a terrific move it was. So, much like you, I'm sort of also looking at how it's being played out on a day-to-day basis.
I think he tried. I mean, to me, it seemed his heart was in it. He was trying, but at any game, it is about winning games.
He also came into a very difficult situation. Trinidad and Tobago football was not doing as great as we all wanted it to be doing. And I remember when I went to one of the first matches I went to when Angus became coach, was that I went to the final. It was a night after news. Went to the final of the Courts Caribbean Classic, and Jamal Shabazz Guyana faced off Angus Eves Trinidad and Tobago. And we won the game. We won the game in the last minute or something like that. We won the game. It was utter chaos at the Hazel Crawford Stadium. But what I remember taking away from that is that the crowds that came back, there was a renewed energy in Trinidad and Tobago football. And I try to go to almost every game that Trinidad and Tobago plays. And I hadn't seen that energy in a long time, because I've been through watching Dennis Lawrence's Trinidad and Tobago team, Terry Fenwick's Trinidad and Tobago team, and I was so, sometimes when we go, it would just be, a few of us in the stadium watching, but
something was happening.
Something was happening. A lot of fans energy, back to the game, a lot of interest back to the game, and it was really nice going to places like in La Hawketa and watching at the Larry Gomes Stadium Trinidad and Tobago football, and watching everybody from the east come out, and it was, we really did bring back a level of interest, including to myself, about Trinidad and Tobago football.
We have so much great good footballers in Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, it have the little pro league that goes on, but why is it that when it comes to the national team, we just can't seem to get it right? Are they scouting for the right talent? What's going on?
Well, that's a very difficult question. And it's a question that even the best of football pundits, the best of former Trinidad and Tobago footballers have struggled to sort of answer over the last six to ten years, particularly in the aftermath of us qualifying for the 2006 World Cup in 2005. Mm-hmm. It's a very difficult question to answer because we have so much talented players, that have gone abroad, that are currently abroad still. How we haven't been able, and again, it sort of comes back to what we were talking about: is our system of producing footballers the best possible system there is? And I think until we answer that question honestly and we fix that system honestly, then maybe we'll keep going around in circles for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. All right, man. Ryan, we're through here. Of course, I could catch him out on the news tonight, CNC3, and he's always a great sport enthusiast. You know, and we're talking about the Olympics. So what are we looking forward to? Again, just wrapping it up in the Olympics coming up here. What are we looking forward to?
Well, all eyes at 3:20 p.m. will be on the men's 400-meter event.
Right.
Jareem Richards will be lining up in the men's 400-meter final at the Olympic Games. This is going to be a huge moment for him. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a really, really difficult race between Matthew Hodgson-Smith, between Michael Norman from the United States. These are all incredible 400-meter runners. Those are the favorites, really.
Yeah.
Beating them is difficult. Jareem Richards is a big believer in God. He is a man of faith. Mm-hmm. He's asked Trinidad and Tobago to pray for him. We're all on his side. And, you know, there's a saying in sport, anything can happen on the day. Mm-hmm. And if anything can happen today, then Jareem Richards can also win a medal.
All right, man. Support your team, Trinidad and Tobago. Support your team. You know, you know, look, Ryan, he's supporting him. Arsenal, he's an Arsenal fan. You know, Arsenal is what I mean. Come on.
For better or for worse.
For better or for worse. We got to support our own too, you know. All right. Thank you very much, Ryan.
Appreciate
man.
It, baby.
The best insight, instant feedback, accountability. The all-new Talk Radio Freedom 106.5.